live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pat Brady's here, and Pat is with Next Generation Strategies. Tom Dart, Sheriff of Cook County, joins us as well. And Sheriff Dart, I don't know if you had a chance to see really a terrific story, a terrific article by way of reporting from Jeremy Gorner, Annie Sweeney, and Jason Meisner in the Tribune this morning, tracing the gun that killed Commander Paul Bauer through all the nauseating, typical ways we find that guns get to Illinois and to criminals illegally. It just makes you sick.
You know, Steve, I haven't read it yet, but I will a little bit later. But the, as you said, I guess, is anybody surprised in the sense that we hear this story all the time about how the gun was legally purchased at this time by this person and then through about four different transactions ends up in the worst person's hands that no one would ever want it in. And then we hear that story over and over and over again.
Should a guy like Bauer's killer have been on the street after four felonies?
You know, that's one where the judges, I was looking at his background and looking at the different charges. He was the armed robbery charge that he was convicted of, he got 16 years, which for, you know, in the spectrum of armed robbery, that's a pretty significant sentence. There was one case, though, that I couldn't figure out, and you know, I'm like you guys, I'm trying to interpret it, but there was a former judge who was looking at it, and he said it seemed strange because it was a gun case, but then it got reduced down, and he didn't have any explanation why it was reduced, and I certainly don't either. So that's the one charge against him that was very puzzling, because that one didn't make sense. But the other ones, like as I say, an armed robber getting 16 years in the spectrum of what they're allowed to give them, that's a pretty heavy hit.
Well, there's certain rules that you have to follow, for instance, the electronic monitoring program. If somebody has a history of being a violent criminal, they're in all likelihood not going to be eligible for electronic monitoring. Yet, in the past week, I've noticed that you and your office have taken tremendous heat from Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle's office about how you're handling cases like this. So what's up with that story?
Yeah, Steve, you know, I am one of the biggest proponents of bond reform. I mean, start with the fact that objective outside observers said our bond hearings on average lasted 22 seconds. So 22 seconds for the state's attorney to speak, the public defender to speak, the judge to speak, theoretically the defendant to speak. So the notion there was thoughtful bond hearings going on is absurd. So we needed to do that. I was watching all the mentally ill being dumped in jails and people being held because they can't come up with $100. So we needed reform, big advocate of that. They made changes, and a lot of it's great. A lot of it's keeping the mentally ill out of there, and these people who are just poor, they're staying out of there. But no one in the right mind was saying to themselves, hey, one of the bond reforms is we got to get more gun offenders on the streets. And so sure enough, we started looking at, you know, who is being released as a result of these new bond reforms that are put in place. And sure enough, we looked at it, and whereas there used to be the rarest occasion a gun offender would get out on electronic monitoring, it was like 1 or 2% of the times. Now it's like 22% of the times gun offenders are getting electronic monitoring, which, Steve, it's a bracelet on someone's leg.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then electronic monitoring was meant for drug offenders,
right.
You know, people who don't show up for court. And I just inform the different players in the system, say, listen, guys, I don't know if you care to look at the numbers, but the numbers are showing gun offenders are getting out at a record pace. And the numbers are staggering, Steve. The number of people charged with aggravated UUW, that increased 57%, the ones being ordered to electronic monitoring. Armed habitual criminals, that increased 582%. The armed violence people, that went up 143%. UUW by felon went up 158%. And I just told him, I go, guys, time out. This was not anyone's idea of what, at least the meetings I was at, as far as bond reform. We weren't going to be throwing gun offenders out in the street. And there's this pushback now saying, well, they're not recidivating. It's been 6 months, my friends, A. And B, the other part, everyone acknowledges most of these people with guns and these shooters are not being arrested. So the notion that somehow you can say, well, they haven't been reoffended, that means they haven't been re-caught. That's not a big deal these days because no one's being, you know, no one's catching these guys with the guns.
Tom, what happened? Why did this happen? Is it on the judges, or and why did the county board president react so adamantly against you on that? I don't get it.
I don't, you know, Pat, I don't either. they have a new head of the bond court, and he's truly one of the best judges in the entire system. Thoughtful, hardworking. I mean, one of the most decent people you'll ever meet. And he's a person you can sit down and walk all this stuff through. But when I was trying to alert the county board people about this, there was this immediate reaction. It was like, these aren't good numbers that people are getting out. And it's like, no. Nobody was talking about letting these type of people out. So I am really shocked by the response that I was getting from them, because what I wrote them is, hey, listen, we need to slow this thing down. We need to evaluate these people. I mean, one of the guys, Pat, that we stopped from going out, who was ordered on EM, was a guy they had picked up on a aggravated battery case with a handgun that was then upgraded to an attempt murder case. And it's like, you know what? I don't believe we were talking about putting attempt murders out on the street. I mean, this is not what this was ever envisioned. And so the pushback from them, I don't get it. The public defender, I get it. They want everyone out. So, I mean, when she pushed back on me, you know, whatever. She's for gun offenders getting on the street. I don't think myself, and I don't think the people in this county, particularly the city, are looking forward to more gun offenders.
Yeah, and by the way, President Preckwinkle's welcome here to try to explain it, but we don't understand it. I mean, we literally don't understand what the outrage has been this week.
Sheriff, it seems like they are getting out, though. Even this 16 years on an armed robbery for the man accused of shooting Commander Bauer, he's out on the street. So I'm just curious, why are we minimizing the sentencing guidelines? Is it because of this alleged overcrowding, both for gun and drug offenses? There was a story, there was a gun offender on electronic monitoring the day after Commander Bauer was shot and killed, who was dealing drugs and guns out of his South Loop high-rise, high-end condo building. So why are they being let out?
You know, I don't know. I think, to be quite honest with you, the changes in these rules that they instituted in the bond court, one of the big ones was to make sure you aren't holding somebody because of their lack of money. And I think, you know how the pendulum swings? This pendulum swung way too far. And it requires, you know, thoughtful people to sit down and say, let's fix this, guys. And to think about this for a second, who would ever put in place a major overhaul of a system and not have like a 1 month, 2 month, 3 month evaluation to see, is it working? Is it getting the results that we want? And if it's not, let's fix it. It certainly wasn't supposed to be left to me to do it, but thank God we were doing it, because when we looked at it, it was like, this is the very thing Eddie always talks about, that revolving door. Their guys go out, they arrest people, they bring them into court, and next thing you know, they're looking on, and he's back on the street the next day. It's like, what happened here? And it was a bill I had in Springfield last year that the House killed for no reason, that was going after this very same thing, saying, listen, we got to look at gun offenders differently. We can't have them being arrested. It's hard enough to arrest them, but once we arrest them, we can't have them coming right back out. And so it was
it's insane. Look, it's insane to have somebody that's convicted. If you're convicted of a gun felony,
right,
there should be a mandatory sentence, not one you can walk on.
Right. I completely agree. I mean, as a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen, I don't care if they can't pay to get out of jail.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather have
them. Outrageous.
I don't care if it's, you know, if you're a repeat offender and you have a gun or are dealing even a small amount of cocaine or whatever it might be, marijuana, I don't think you should be let out.
Well, here's
just
the thing.
Just because,
you can't bond out?
But
see, there's the thing. I think that's where it gets gray if you start blending drugs in. Frankly, I don't care if you're dealing drugs.
Right.
If you commit a gun felony, I care a lot, because the drug problem will take care of it.
But they usually go hand in hand.
That's true.
Yeah, well, what we were trying to do last year was saying, listen, all of our numbers, which we studied, which once again nobody else was doing, showed that in gun cases, 25% of the time, they were able to make bond, even really heavy bonds. So the judges were setting heavy bonds, and they were making it, whereas people stealing things, retail thieves, they were making bond only 4% of the time. And it's like, this is absurd. But the rationale was the gangs will come up with the money to get their shooters out because they're valuable to have on the street.
Right.
And we're like, you got to change this, folks. And so the pushback from the things, I say, understand the public defender. They want to get everybody out. But from the other folks, it's like, you got to be kidding me. This is not what we need here. We need thoughtful type of process here. If you've got a gun, we look at you completely differently. Completely differently.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're gaming the system to get gun felons back on the street, well, I don't know how you look at yourself in the mirror. I don't care if you're a lawyer. I don't care if that's your job.
I agree with you.
It's ridiculous. The last word, Pat.
No, what's the solution, Tom?
You know, I had some conversations that I said, I can't emphasize enough to you that we have to be straightforward here. There's some great, great judges that are trying to work in this system. And as I said, the one overseeing the bond court is, I can tell you, the best in the system. So if anybody can help fix it, it'll be him. But the reality is, it's, let's slow this thing down. And that's why I suggested to folks, when we get these gun offenders, they're being ordered on EM, we stop the presses, we sit down, we put our heads together, we reevaluate it, but they are not eligible for my EM program, which is people who have drug offenses.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not that hard. It just really
is not that hard.
It's not. Sheriff Tom Dart, thank you. I appreciate the time. You know that.
See you, Tom.
Thank you guys so much.
There you go.
Take care.
Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart.